Today is Sunday morning, May the 22nd, 2022, the next to the last Sunday in the month of May. And I want you to be praying. I put a little note in the bulletin this week. I want you to be praying especially for our Carroll Christian School high school graduates this coming Friday night. I think we've got 30 that graduate with a total of the HOPE students, the homeschool students that are affiliated with our Christian school, and then those in our Christian school. I believe there's about 30 that's going to graduate. And there are 30 opportunities for people to be able to hear the message of the gospel. And we want to pray for these students that God will keep them faithful and God will help them to remain faithful after they graduate, they get into college or wherever they're going. And we want to just pray that God will bless them and use them, amen, in a great and mighty way. So keep the school in prayer. We have a new administrator coming in June. I think it's in June. Pastor Todd Comstock Jr. And he'll be coming in as our new administrator. And he'll have a lot of things to try to get used to and learning here about our school and then setting up things. So be praying for our school. Be praying for our students. And we look forward to being able to be an encouragement and strength to them, okay? I want us to go ahead and get started right into the lesson this morning. If you will, turn back over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. Now today, this lesson is the second part of lesson number 12. And you can see in your bulletin this morning, I'm just going to cover last week where we tried to cover the first part of it, the basis of faithfulness in ministry. Today, I want us to look at the behavior of ministry, or the behavior of faithfulness in ministry. The behavior of faithfulness in ministry. You know, faithfulness is something that anybody and everybody can have a part in. Amen? God has made it so that each of us can be found faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul talked about this last week. He charged Timothy to remain faithful even when he was facing opposition, even when he was facing persecution, even when he was facing folks around him that did not want to know anything about truth. There was a basis for his faithfulness in the ministry. But today I want you to look at this. The behaviors. How in the world could Timothy be found faithful in the situations he was going through? How can you and I be found faithful today in this world of sin all around us? We see all the things that are happening in our world, and it just seems like everybody knows the things that are being done wrong, but nobody wants to do anything about it. Nobody wants to face the issues and tackle it and just bring down some judgment on those that are continuing to do wrong. Believe me, one day, folks, the Lord God is going to do that. And we may be closer to that day than we've ever thought before. I told my wife the other day, it took me 2 days to mow my yard because I kept getting rained on. And every time I'd start, I'd go about 2 strokes. And my grass was about 18 inches tall. I kid you not, it was about 18 inches tall. I had not gotten to it. Every time I had a day off to do it, it was pouring down rain. And so I started mowing on it, and I'd just go real, real slow. And my wife said, "Honey, we got to pray that it stops raining." I said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't pray that it doesn't stop raining. I got a well, okay? And you know what? I just wondered. I'm just hoping that God is sending us the rain so that we'll have it in case he sends a drought to send judgment on this world. I don't know what he's going to do. But I thank God for the rain. I'll work around the rain. I got headlights on the front of my mower there. I can work. And I did. I worked up until dark. But you know what? We got it done. And I just thank God for that. I thank God for the water that's making the grass grow, for the God that gives all those things. But how do you face the obstacles that you've got today? Well, there has to be some faithfulness in our behavior. Number one, I want you to look at what he said in verse number 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He said, "Timothy, here's how you do it." He said, "Preach the word." Amen? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. That means be ready at whatever time God makes available for you. This morning, a little bit before 8:15, Pastor Young called me. And I thought, my goodness, what's Pastor Young calling me for? And he said, I'm in dire need of your help. And I said, well, sure, you need a ride? And he and his wife and Eliza are all sick. They're very sick. Renee is not sick, but they're all sick. And he said, I need you to lead singing. I said, hello, you got the right number? Hello? And he said, brother, I may need you to help do that for me today. That's what you call being instant in season and out of season, okay? All right. But then he said, you need to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Listen to me today, folks. The Bible talks about this is not a job for just the pastor alone. This is not just a job for the preacher alone. It's for each of us as born-again believers. We are to preach. We are to boldly proclaim the Word of God everywhere we go. Listen, don't let the world entice you to compromise. Don't let the world put so much pressure on you that you say, well, I'm afraid to do this for God. I remember when the Lord God was calling me to preach, and the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart, convicting me. And you know what drew me to answer God's call to preach? I was afraid to do that. I was just scared to death to stand up before people and do anything. But you know what? After reading the Word of God, I became more afraid not to do it than I was to do it. One of these days, folks, we're going to stand before God. And when we stand before God, I think a lot of us are going to be ashamed that we did not do more for God that we should have done because we let fear rule our lives. We can't do that. We need to be found faithful to proclaim the Word of God. That means we're to be, look what he said, instant. That means to be ready in a moment. And whenever the opportunity arises, we're to be instant in season and we're to be instant out of season. When things are going well in season, okay? And when things are not going so well, that's out of season. We're to be found faithful to tell folks about the Lord Jesus at any time. That's why we have gospel tracts on the track rack. You ought to fill your pockets with gospel tracts. Man, I got them everywhere. Listen, somebody told me a couple weeks ago, it was after the food distribution situation, they said, well, I had a gospel tract, but I didn't know what to tell them about being saved. We could read it, but I couldn't explain it. And so the Lord spoke to my heart about that. And I sat down, and I left a few of these out here today. There's a little booklet right there. And it says on here, God wants you to know something very important from His Word. And it's even in good size print, okay, all right, so that anybody could read it with or without their glasses, all right, but it's got the plan of salvation, and it goes through just like you were talking to somebody. It goes through the whole plan of salvation, explaining everything. If you've got somebody that's lost, you've been wanting to witness to them, take one. You read through it. Sit down and read it to them. Give it to them. But listen, we need to be instant in season and out of season. Be ready to give folks the Word of God. Then look what he said. He said, reprove. Reprove. Now that word reprove, that means that Timothy was to care enough for those to whom he preached and taught the Word of God to spiritually guide them. To spiritually guide them. To lovingly scold them if they did something wrong. Okay? This week, when our little dog, I don't want to just pop her with a paper all the time if she does something wrong. But you know what? All I've got to do now, I've done it in the past, so all I got to do is say, Precious, I'm reaching for the paper, and she'll look at me and she'll go hide up underneath the table like, okay, Daddy, I won't do that again. But you know what? We need to help folks. Listen, when we see them going the wrong direction, love them enough to nudge them into the right direction. Amen? Don't let them get caught up in sin. Listen, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And we need to help them. We need to lovingly scold them, reprove them, and to biblically correct them from erroneous ways and living. and teach them the way that God has given them. Teach them that there is a responsibility that each of us have toward God. Amen? We have a responsibility toward God. So Timothy was to be gentle, and he was to be loving when there was reproof that needed to be done. But then he said, and rebuke. Now that word rebuke, it means to express a strong judgment against that which is biblically wrong or contrary to the Word of God. And you're to do it for one purpose. We're to rebuke in an effort to bring forth an honest conviction for sin. We need to help them to understand why what they're doing is wrong, okay? Why is abortion not right in the Word of God? Why is it wrong? Why is it considered to be a sin? Why is stealing a sin? Why is lying a sin? What does it get you for disobedience unto God? Folks, we need to help them to understand so that they will recognize what sin is in God's eyes, and then they will be willing. The Spirit of God can convict them of that and help them to repent of that sin and turn away from it so that they do not do it anymore. And then he said, you are to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That word exhort that Timothy was told to do, it means that as God told Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, he said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Folks, we are to help them to understand so that when they realize what sin is, and we expose sin for what it is. Can I say this and not make anybody mad? Today, most churches don't want to say anything about sin because they don't want to offend anybody. Okay? They want them to come in and continue to give their monies, but not let them know that if they die lost, they're going to spend eternity separated from God in hell. And folks, it's not worth that. We have to stand before God one day. Each of us will stand before God. And we're accountable unto God. And we need to stand up and exhort folks to understand, listen, this is wrong. This is not right in the eyes of God. When Jonah surrendered his life to God, he went and preached in 40 days God's sending judgment. Boy, that'd be a hard message to preach, would it not? But when he did, the hearts of the people and even the heart of the king of Nineveh was turned. They were convicted of their sins. And over 120,000 people fell on their knees and repented of their sin. And God spared that great city. All because one man stood and he exhorted the truth of the Word of God. Timothy was to exhort with what? With all longsuffering and doctrine. Even as someone has had done for him once before when he got saved. Listen, folks, our job is not to stand there and point our finger in somebody's face and say, you are a sorry, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner. You know why? Because there are several other fingers pointing right back at us, reminding us that that's the way we were before we got saved. Listen, we need to remember the fact that were it not for the grace of God, that would be me. That could be you. Were it not for the grace of God. So we exhort them with all longsuffering. You remember what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 said? The Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to men, as some men count slackness, but he is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, I have seen some folks, and I understand what they're saying. I understand what they're wanting to say, but it just comes out the wrong way. But you know what? God was long-suffering to you and to me. He was very merciful. How many of you heard the message of the gospel more than one time before you got saved? Hold up your hand. Yeah. What if God had been like a lot of Christians are today and said, man, if they're not going to get saved right now when I say they're going to get saved, then they can just die and go to hell. God didn't do that with you and with me. He was long-suffering to usward. Why? Because he was not willing that any of us should perish, should die without hope. So the sweet Holy Spirit of God continued to convict us of our sin. I think about all the times in vacation Bible school, I knew that I needed to go and get saved, and I just didn't do it. What would my friends say? What will my parents say? You know, they've already told the preacher that I was saved. They've already told the preacher this, and they've already told the preacher that. What are they going to say if I go up there and get saved? And man, that all went through my mind. But you know what? God was still long-suffering, and he was merciful to me. And therefore, with that same loving kindness that God showed to us, we need to in turn show it to others. Amen? We need to be the same way. We need to exhort with all long-suffering. Exhortation of the Word of God can often be a very disappointing ministry, especially when folks simply refuse to listen to truth and they refuse to take heed to the Word of God. But you know what? Paul charged Timothy here. He charged him to do it with a heart of love. To do what he did for God with a heart of devotion unto the one who had loved him and saved him and ministered unto him. Because the day was coming when many that would reject God's word and they would refuse to hear God's word, there was a day coming when they would say, you know what, I'm not listening anymore. And God would look at him and say, Timothy, you've done all you can do. That's fine. That's fine. When exhortation becomes difficult, and people turn away, as they often sometimes will, the temptation that you and I have is to change our message. The temptation is, well, if I don't go and tell them about sin, if I don't tell them that the wages of sin is death, if I just change my message, if I just change my way of telling folks, I'll just give them a track and invite them to church, but I won't tell them how to be saved. My goodness, you know what? They could start coming to church. They could come every Sunday, but unless somebody shares the message of the gospel, they're still going to die and go to hell, lost as a sinner. Listen, we've had folks here that have told us, listen, you don't need to be telling all these people this gospel. Just feed them, clothe them, and one day they're going to see their need. Listen, you can feed them till their bellies are about to pop. You can put the finest suit on their bodies, but if they die and go to hell without ever hearing the gospel, we're going to give account unto God for that. We need to reprove, exhort with all love, with all long-suffering, and doctrine. We don't need to change our doctrine. Amen? Then look what he said. Verse number 5. He said, but watch thou in all things. Watch thou in all things. Timothy was to keep his eyes on Jesus and on the seriousness of calling, the calling that God had placed upon his life. You know what? There are many folks that I know that were called to preach. Many men that have been called to preach, and they don't do that anymore. They don't preach anymore. They took their eyes off Jesus. They got their eyes set on things of this old world. Lesson 13 talks about that. And folks, listen to me. We need to keep our eyes open. And we need to watch in all things. We need to watch and stand guard against the attacks of Satan in our life. And we need to stand guard against the temptations that Satan sends in our lives that will fall upon us and upon all those that minister unto the Lord and to others. Listen, we need to stand watch. We need to keep a sober and vigilant watch over our lives. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, Timothy, make sure that your life is right. You keep your life close to God. Make sure your behavior is right with God. Don't let things creep in and try to distort truth in your life. Hold the truth of the doctrines of Christ and don't allow others to lead you in the ways of error and deceit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what he's saying. Yesterday, my wife sent me a picture. I was here at the church until late, and I think I left, I don't know, it was 6 or 7 last night, and I was trying to call some folks and encourage them about being in the house of God, and she sent me a text yesterday, and this is what I'm going to share with you. I should have pulled it up here. She sent me this picture of Precious, and I know you can't see it, but she's sitting at the front door. Okay, she's sitting out inside the house at the front door looking out through the glass. And the note that my wife sent me this yesterday said this. She said, patiently waiting for you to return. And I sent my wife back a note and it said, bless her heart. We should be the same way for our Lord Jesus, shouldn't we? You know what? In all that we do, we need to be watching and waiting for the Lord Jesus to come again. He's coming, folks. Amen. Don't be weary in well-doing. He's coming again. Don't stop doing what you're doing for Christ. He's coming again. He's watching us, and we need to watch for him. And then we need to do what he said here in verse number 5. He said, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. While he diligently watched over the things of God in his ministry, Timothy was to endure afflictions. Now, what does that mean? It means that he was to continue to be faithful. He was to remain firm under suffering and misfortune without yielding. He was to undergo suffering without giving in to the temptation to quit or to compromise biblical convictions. He was to endure. Timothy was to remain satisfied in the Lord, knowing, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 19, that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what? If you choose to live for God, dear child of God, listen to me. Understand what I'm saying to you. If you choose to live faithfully for God, you're not going to be a friend of the devil. Okay? You become his enemy. You are put on his watch list. And he knows, since he cannot unsave you, his ploy now is to distract you, to distract me, to get us off track of living for God and doing what we ought to do. So he sends little afflictions our way. It could be financial. It could be health. It could be job related. It could be family related. Could not. It could even be ministry related. He works in so many different areas to do one thing, and that is to stop you from living for the one who has saved you. We must endure afflictions. We've got to understand. We've got to watch because our Lord is watching us. I remember when our children, you know, were living at home, and some other person or somebody would say something to them, and they knew they shouldn't be doing that, and they heard them say that, and they'd say, come on, come on, come on with us. And they would turn around and look at us, and I could look at them and tell, there's something going on here, you know. A parent just knows that, you know. You look at them, you say, hey, there's something going on. And then they look back at me like, what would Dad say? What would Mom say? And then they'd say, no, I better not do that. Better not do it. Hey, listen, that's how we need to watch today. Jesus, the devil is saying, I need to quit this. Lord God, the devil is saying, I need to change my Bible. You know, because they can't understand this King James Bible. You listen to me. The King James Bible was written on a 5th and 6th grade reading level. It was written in the English language so that the common plowboy could be able to read it and understand what God's Word said. You know why people can't understand it today? Number one, they're not saved, okay? Number two, they don't want to understand it. They're looking for an excuse so they don't have to stand accountable unto God. You tell me something today. What is so hard to understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? What is so hard to understand today with the fact that the wages for sin is death? What is so hard about it? There's nothing hard about that. But the devil is going to throw afflictions our way and cause us to think, man, we can't do this. We got to endure. We got to endure the afflictions. Watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Then look what he said. It doesn't stop there. When you're enduring, then keep doing. Endure and keep doing. Look what he said. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Now, what does that mean? Let me help you to understand what he means. In Matthew chapter 28, I want you to turn there just a moment. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. The Lord gave his great commission, his great charge to his church, to his body of believers. That's you and that's me. And when he gave that commission, he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go ye therefore and teach all nations. That is the evangelism part. We're to go and we're to give out the gospel. Then we're to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In other words, we're to help them not to be ashamed of trusting Christ. We're to help them to see the need to be obedient in their belief for the Lord. And then we're to continue, look what he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have church service. That's why we have master clubs. That's why we have the Spanish church. That's why we have the bus ministry. That's why we have all the ministries that we have here so that we can continue to teach folks to observe what? All things whatsoever God said, I have commanded you. And look at his promise. He said, in lo, that means in every situation. I kid my wife, that means even her. Lo, I am with you all way, okay? That means all the way, without end, I'm with you, even unto the end of the world. Folks, listen to me today. The work of an evangelist is the work of declaring the message of the Word of God. We are to declare it. We are to proclaim it. We are to herald forth the truth of something of importance. We're to tell folks about Jesus. First of all, that they might hear the Word of God, believe and be saved. Secondly, so that they will not be ashamed. We're to teach them to be obedient so they're not ashamed of the Lord. And then thirdly, we're to continue to teach them so that they can go out and do for somebody else what God sent somebody else to do for them. We're to do that. This is your job and it's my job. And Paul charged Timothy to be faithful as an evangelist. Why? Let me show you the last part of this. It was so that he could make full proof of his ministry. Now, folks, let me say this today. The world is looking for proof of something that's real in the lives of born-again believers. We look at our political world today, and we see the Speaker of the House saying, I'm a good Catholic, and then the Pope don't even want to have anything to do. Listen, when the Pope doesn't want to have anything to do with you, you must be a wicked, wicked person. My soul. That's a bad situation. When the devil doesn't want you, you're in trouble, amen? You're in trouble. Listen, the world is looking at all this religion today that's going around, and it's not changing the hearts of people. I remember when I got sprinkled as a boy and I got baptized in another church. It did not change my heart. You know what changed my heart? It was the message of the gospel. That changed my heart. And then God began to work from the inside out. He didn't work on me from the outside and get me in. He worked on the inside and it worked out. Amen. It's like chicken pox. It's like shingles, which I just got my first shot for. It's a little late now, but I got it anyway. But you know what? It started on the inside. For 2 weeks before the shingles broke out, I was hurting on the inside, and I didn't know what was wrong. That's why I went to the doctor. Man, I went because I was hurting on the inside. And the day that I decided to go to the doctor, I noticed one little place broke out here, another little place broke out there. And when he looked at it, he said, yeah, you got shingles. You know what? It started on the inside. What we need is a breakout of Christianity. Amen. True Bible, biblical, doctrinally correct Christianity to start working in our lives on the inside. And then we have revival that breaks out on the outside. Amen. And that is what he's saying here. He said, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Listen, if there was ever a time in our land today, in our whole world today, that folks need to see proof of our ministry, it is today. It is today. Pastor Malad sent me an email this past week, and he said, be praying this week for the Egyptian conference. They are bringing Christians from all those different lands in Saudi Arabia and in Egypt and all those places all together into Egypt to be able to encourage them, strengthen them so they can get the gospel to the people there. Folks, do you realize if you preach the gospel there, you can lose your life? You can be imprisoned, tortured, and put to death, beheaded for the cause of Christ. And yet we don't want to do anything like that today. We don't want to tell anybody about Jesus because, well, we feel that they might not like that. Oh, they won't come back to church anymore. Oh, they'll slam the door in my face. Oh, they won't be my friend. Listen to me. I would rather they be offended with me now when we're here on this earth and God is still speaking to their hearts, then one day when they stand before God and they said, but God, nobody ever told me, and I worked with folks that said they were Christians. They never told me. And God looks over at you and me and says, is that true? You never told them? So tell me, what's going to have to happen to this person now? And we have to answer the Lord and say, God, they have to go to hell. And it's our fault. No wonder God is going to be wiping away tears in heaven as we read in Revelation chapter 21. Because many Christians are going to stand there because they did not make full proof of their ministry. Folks, I say this to you today because we need to make proof. We need to make it evident in our lives today. In all that we do and say, we need to love folks to Jesus. Amen. We need to love them to Jesus. Listen, when we were dating, I didn't go to my wife and take a baseball bat and say, girl, you're going to like me, and later you're going to love me, or I'm going to hit you in the head with this bat. Man, I've been wasting a good ball bat on that. It wouldn't have worked. But you know what? Just my sweetness and my love for her drew her to say, he's the man. Look at her. She's about to faint. Somebody catch her back there. Amen. Help her. Help her now. Hey, listen. She's going to the bathroom to throw up, I think. Huh? No, listen. You know what? It was God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah, God knew that we were lost. God knew that we were on our way to a devil's hell. But he loved us to himself. And folks, what we do for God depends upon our behavior, our love, our attitude of gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was charging Timothy to continue to do. Have a faithful behavior in living for God. And then if you'll come back next week, I'll start the second part of what I was going to do today. Listen to me. I want you to understand something today, folks. As we finish out this lesson series, it's entitled From Forgiveness to Faithfulness. We are able to be found faithful for the Lord today because God was first willing to forgive us of our sins and to love us enough to pay the debt for those sins. And folks, if God were willing to do that for you and for me, don't you think we ought to be willing to live for Him and be found faithful unto Him? I remember going in with both of my children, and I helped deliver both of my children, and I would not have missed it for anything in the world, because I watched the suffering that my wife went through to bring those children into this world, the agony that she went through to birth those children into the Lord, into the world. I watched that. And you know what? When I held that little baby in my hands and we sat there in that hospital room and we just loved on him, you know what? It made me love my wife even more than I'd ever loved her before. Because she was willing to suffer so that we could have that child. And you know what? When I look at what God did for you and for me, how He allowed His Son Jesus to suffer so that you and I could be able to go free. He allowed His Son Jesus to suffer and to bleed and to die upon the cross as that which would satisfy God for the debt that we owed for our sins. And if God were willing to do that for me, and if God were willing to do that for you, don't you think we ought to just be willing to be found faithful in all that we do for Him? We do it with an attitude of gratitude today. Let's thank Him for that today. Amen. Father, Lord, my intentions, you know, God, my intentions today were to finish both of these lessons. But Lord, there is so much here in this precious Word of God. And Lord, I didn't want to make it seem like I was rambling on, but God, I just wanted our people to understand, Lord, the great responsibility that we have toward you to be found faithful in all we do in this ministry. Lord, I pray that today you will help us to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, so that we can be able to love those around us to a right relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to remember all that you did for us, that we might be found faithful to live for you today. Watch over us now. Be with Pastor Young and his family. Lord, with all those that may be sick and going through things. Lord, with Nancy Bittman, Lord, as she recovers from this shoulder surgery, God, I pray that you'll be with her. Lord, so many others that are going through so many things today. God, be with them. And help us, Lord, to love them and to pray for them as we should. Well, thank you now, God, for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.